Thank you. I would like to welcome you all to this memorial service to honor Keith Panofsky. I particularly want to welcome Adele and the members of the extended Panofsky family. We are here to remember and to celebrate a great, great man. A man we cherish for his intellect, for his deep and unwavering adherence to his principles, and for his essential humanity. We will hear remembrances today from some of our colleagues who knew Peef, worked with Peef, cherished Peef. We'll start with Richard Taylor. Dick came to SLAC and helped build the first end station A experiments to run at the new SLAC LINAC. He won the 1990 Nobel Prize for discovering the existence of quarks using the LINAC that Peef built. Dick?
The life of pretty well everybody here has been affected by Peef Panofsky. I wouldn't be standing here if it were not for him. Nothing I can say today comes close to expressing the loss that I feel or the gratitude that I have for his friendship and trust over all the years. Peef came to Stanford in 1951 as a professor and also as director of the High Energy Physics Lab. My first contact with him came the following year in a classroom where he was teaching advanced electricity and magnetism to first-year graduate students. The final exam was 20 or so true-false questions. Right minus wrong. It split the class into two pieces, one of them the piece that had understood, the other one the piece that hadn't understood. A year or so later, I started to work on a thesis at Heppel. I saw lots of Peef after that, and since then, he's been an important part of my life. Peef seemed to be everywhere in the lab in those years, even though he was already a citizen scientist, making several trips to Washington every month. The weekly physics seminars he organized at his home in Los Altos were a strong unifying force for the postdocs and students from the lab. They must have been a burden for both Peef and Adele. There are many stories about Peef from that era, but no time to tell them. No time to tell you about the time Peef was mistaken for the janitor when the mother of one of his students came looking for her son, and Peef found him. The graduate students had no depth perception that ran the 30-ton crane heavily loaded in an end station full of delicate experiments. My profane reaction when Peef decided to move my thesis experiment to make room for his new spectrometer. The search for an upstream valve when a quick disconnect stuck open on a 3-inch 80 PSI cooling water line. I was a fountain. And Peef, nobody knew where the valve was. Many visitors from other countries came to Heppel in those years. In the exchange of high-energy physicists that followed the first thawing of U.S.-Soviet relations, Peef went to Moscow and Soviet visitors came to SLAC. Peef and Adele threw a huge party for the Russian. When the head of the delegation decided to leave, his group was found to be one theorist short. After a search, he was found in the attic playing Monopoly. And he wanted to stay. Something to do with Park Place and a hotel. He couldn't stay, but he flew home with a Monopoly game tucked under his arm. I never expected to see him again. Peef's contacts and friendships with the Soviets served him well later on in disarmament talks. Great consequences for high-energy physics followed a suggestion by Jerry O'Neill from Princeton. He suggested that electrons could be trapped in a ring of magnets. Bert, Peef, and Carl Barber, along with Jerry, immediately started the Clashing Beam Project, building storage rings at Heppel that led to Spear, and eventually to colliders for all the big accelerators in high-energy physics. By 1956, the electron scattering experiments on the proton made Heppel and Bob Hofstadter famous, an Hofstadter suggested an accelerator with 1,000 klystrons. When Gidston and Pief took that suggestion seriously, SLAC was conceived. Gestation was long, but SLAC was finally born in 1961 with Pief as the founding director. Building SLAC took all of Pief's organizational skills and his interpersonal skills. Technically, the machine seemed a fairly straightforward extension of known techniques, but the logistics were formidable and problems kept coming up, like the power line in to the lab to give us power, which was finally resolved in Congress to a fight over the height of the tiles in the bathroom in our buildings. So Pief was busy. That one only went to the Secretary of Energy. After a spell in France, I came back to Stanford in 1962 to work on SLAC experimental areas. Pief spent a good deal of time on those questions and then on the spectrometer facility that would be used for photoproduction and electron scattering experiments. Pief took part in the electron scattering experiments, the early electron scattering experiments, pulling out just before the SLAC MIT inelastic scattering experiments. The most frustrating thing in those years was the difficulty in getting funding for a colliding beam facility. Years went by before Pief and Burt found a way to build Spear on the tarmac next to N Station A. But the construction of the LINAC went well, online and on budget, and others will presumably tell you more about the days at SLAC. What made SLAC such a success and Pief the envy of every director, every lab director in the world? Well, first, he was smarter than most people, and he always worked very hard. Just as some musicians can play or sing very fast without seeming hurried, Pief got through an enormous amount of work but still had time to talk to people who wanted to talk to him. He was motivated by a strong desire for new knowledge and the conviction that electron accelerators could generate fundamental experiments to advance the field. But I think the most important thing was that Pief was a joy to be with. He was truly kind and truly tolerant, and people responded with enthusiasm and loyalty. Mark Twain remarked, "I never met a man I didn't like." In Pief's case, I would say Pief never met a person that didn't like him. There must have been some exceptions, but I have never found anybody who disliked Pief. From time to time, someone would mistake Pief's gentle ways for a lack of will. They were always surprised. The humanitarian side of Pief was very strong and drove a lot of things he did in the lab and in Washington. In closing, I'd like to extend my sympathy to Pief, beloved Adele, and to the kids that he was proud of. On a different level, many of us feel family-like connections to Pief, and we too are very sad. With our memories of a great man and the certainty that the world is a better place because Pief worked so hard to make it so, we will carry on the traditions that he left behind for us. Thank you.